Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Morning Reload. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Monday. There were a number of things that happened over the weekend. The Redcoats continued their assault on our collective intelligence with a few new op-eds in the Cowpie. Sniveling Barry Crago and AOC, Albert Ogden Conservatives. As it relates to Representative Crago, during his long and extensive law education, did he ever take a class in logic or deductive reasoning? The reason I ask this is typically past behavior is a pretty good predictor of future behavior. If you did something multiple times in the past, as he claims in his op-ed, then one could reasonably assume that he would do the same thing in the future. I'm not going to comment on all of his political drivel, as I've already addressed it about a half a dozen times in the past. What I will say, however, is if Barry Crago is the tax cut crusader that he claims to be, why is it that the bill he sponsored this year, House Bill 45, would do the exact opposite of cutting taxes? In truth, that bill would almost certainly guarantee that your property taxes will double in 14 years. And why is it that Barry Crago's property tax increase cap only applies to your home, the structure, and not the land? That's because Representative Crago is trying to skirt around the Wyoming Constitution and call his tax increase cap an exemption. For someone who flashes that little blue Wyoming Constitution book every chance he gets, it's interesting that he's trying to figure out a way to get around it. I won't belabor the point too much because we've got other stuff to do, but you really should take Barry Crago's comments with a grain of salt because they're not worth much more. The op-ed by AOC, Albert Ogden Conservatives, is another matter entirely. They criticize any information that doesn't originate in Wyoming. Indeed, according to them, if whatever you're reading is not from Wyoming, it is immediately suspect and you should definitely disregard it. Really, their piece is just mindless drivel. I had to read it twice to figure out what the heck they were talking about, aside from the whole Wyoming solutions for Wyoming problems implication. Really, it's pretty lowbrow stuff. Anyhow, if you're bored and feel like your intelligence is in desperate need of insulting, then go ahead and read those two things. I'm pretty sure my IQ dropped a couple of points just because I read them. The other thing that happened over the weekend is the Wyoming Freedom Caucus held an event in Sheridan. It was a fantastic affair. They had a couple of panel discussions, numerous speakers, and then the keynote was delivered by Representative Jeremy Haraldson. He really did a fantastic job, and I'm going to play it for you in just a second. But first, a brief word from our sponsors. Today's program of Morning Reload is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or really any type of metal structure, even something as big as a warehouse, the two guys you should talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. And get this, you'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One of the many cool things that they do is they pour concrete pillars and then insert steel beams inside them and then set the foundation on top. That way, there's no possible way for water to get underneath your building and ruin the foundation. But to get more information, give Nick and Jesse a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Today's broadcast is also brought to you by the Buffalo Wool Company. They're the makers of the warmest socks that you'll ever put on your feet. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. The following advertisement is paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
Who's the leader for the Senate? It's Reed Raisner. He's the one for you and me.
And now, on with the program. As I was telling you before the break, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus held an event in Sheridan this past Saturday. I don't know if the room was exactly at capacity, but it couldn't have been far off. There were a lot of people there. Well, at the end of the evening, Jeremy Haroldson delivered the keynote address. It's fantastic. Here it is.
I give you Representative Jeremy Haroldson. Thank you, guys. Okay, so if you've not eaten, go get some food. Seriously, it's good food. You know, this is it. It's Republican food. It's all got meat in it. Right? I mean, let's be honest. If we were in a Democratic conversation, it would all be vegan. That was funny. Maybe it wasn't. Okay. So thank you guys so much for having me tonight. It is truly an honor to be here in Sheridan. As I look across this room, I see people who care about freedom. Tonight, we're going to talk about freedom and what made this nation great. About that, and as we talk about that, you guys do need to understand something. Beginning of this last week, I started coming down with a cold. I'm a pastor and a legislator. You can't have a cold when you're a pastor and a legislator. It's like almost a cardinal sin. So don't worry, I'm ivermectined up, and I got 500 milligrams of vitamin C shot into my arm. We are getting there, but if I go into a coughing fit, my lungs haven't quite caught up yet. So, when I say absolute truth, what does that mean to you? Absolute truth. It's interesting. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can I tell you that in America, our foundation was based upon absolute truth? How many people understand that our rights are not given by a government in this place today? Exactly. They're given by the Almighty. And the Almighty, God, is the founder of absolute truth. And so if you actually break down the founding of the American nation, one thing you need to realize is that what made America great was not its military. It wasn't even the amazing men and women that gave everything to make it what it is today. What made America great was the fact that they knew that absolute truth was the foundation of the moral fabric of our nation. And that is so important to understand, because everything that we see today is going against the moral fabric of absolute truth. So the morals and values of a nation are based upon that absolute truth. You want to know the one thing that they're incessantly going against right now when it comes to the moderates or the liberals or whatever you want to call it? You want to know what they're doing? They're going against absolute truth. I mean, why in the world are we having to run a bill that says a woman is a woman? I mean, I guess maybe I'm off, but that was never a concern that I ever had. I never thought I'd even have this conversation. In 2020, when I ran, we got time. You guys want to get a story? So in 2020, I was pastoring Impact Ministries in Wheatland, and our governor, who did not shut down the state of Wyoming, shut down our church. Funny how that works, isn't it? And so the first 2 weeks, how many people, if we're being 100% honest, we were like, we really don't know what's coming down the pike. So let's not be dumb. We didn't technically ever shut our church down, but what we said is, hey, you know what, let's just get an idea of what we're up against. And if you need to come to church, come to church. If not, stay home. We've got a really good live streaming system. Stay there. Week one. Week two. Week three. Week four. Well, I thought it was 2 weeks to slow the spread. Week five. As a pastor, I get hospital calls all the time. My hospital calls started skyrocketing for mental health issues. People trying to commit suicide. Why? Because we are people who need community. We're people who need conversations. We're people who need family. And so I'm like, wait a second, we got a major problem. So I called my rep. I called the governor, did not get through to the governor, got through to my rep, and I said, hey, you need to have a special session, two-thirds, or a governor call can get it, and you need to take the power away from an unelected bureaucrat. And you need to open our state back up. 45 minutes worth of conversation later, this is what I got. You're the pastor, and I'm the politician. You worry about preaching, and I'll worry about politics. I beat him by 13 percentage points. So I'll worry about preaching and politics. So today I need to ask, what is the role of government? Before we start anything, we have to answer that question. If a candidate can't tell you this, if they can't tell you what absolute truth is, and if they can't tell you what the role of government is, don't elect them. They'll be a train wreck. If they don't know the role of government, and if they don't know what absolute truth is, they'll be a train wreck. The role of government is to establish justice. The role of government is to provide for the protection, foreign and domestic. How many people know that is not happening in Texas right now? This is absolutely ludicrous. We are standing in the United States of America, and our Supreme Court and our president is throwing the state of Texas absolutely underneath the bus.
Oligarchs.
It is absolutely uncalled for and unconstitutional. The role of government, constitutionally established, is to establish that justice, provide for the protection, foreign and domestic, and then establish and provide infrastructure. You want to know the one area of our state that is always underfunded? Our roads. The one thing that's actually the role of government we somehow don't fund. It's interesting, isn't it? There's one word, as I think about government, that it continues to come to my mind, and that word is reformation. Reformation. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it actually says the action or process of reforming an institution or practice, bringing about long-term change. How many people in this room tonight would say, I believe it is time that we see a reformation of our government? Absolutely, right? Does that mean, and this is one thing you have to understand, a lot of people go, oh, that means you hate everything about it. No, not at all. But if I were to turn around, I'm a car guy, I fix a mirror, I guess. I restore old vehicles. I was born in 1986. No comment, right? And so I collect and restore old square body Chevys, repower plant them with Cummins and all sorts of other fun stuff. How many people sit here and say that I would really like to drive an original 1986 in its current condition truck down the road? No, because it's not going to go over 55 and you're going to hate yourself. So what do? We reform it. We go and we fix that which was not designed to uphold. And so when I'm talking about the reformation of government, I'm not talking about the rewriting of a constitution. I'm talking about the understanding that we have lost our way as a nation, and we need to reform back to what our founding fathers originally designed our nation to look like.
Republic.
Our founding fathers were revolutionists. Our founding fathers were revolutionists. But at the heart of it, it was based in reformation. Our founding fathers were rebels. We would, in this day and age, they would have had a January 6th trial. And I'm not saying that we should grab our pitchforks and our muskets and go march on DC. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Where are we going to go as a nation if we don't wake up to the fact that it has to cost you something? Freedom isn't free. Never has been. And it never will be. You guys, I'm part of a generation that has never had to pay for its freedom. Think about that. 9/11. I was 15 years old. You guys have to understand, my generation has never paid for freedom. There's a generation that does not know the cost of freedom. I want everyone in this room that is under 30 to stand up right now. Under 30. Look around, you guys. You know what this looks like right now? Extinction. You guys can sit down. We have a problem. We're one generation away from losing everything we have. I'm proud of you guys for being here. I'm proud of you guys for saying, I care about this. I got into politics because I knew that I had to care about this. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, Benjamin Franklin. It's interesting, Gun Owners of America, we had Mark Jones up here saying, hey, they're going to take away your Second Amendment right, because if they can do that, everything else topples, right? Your Second Amendment right wasn't so you could carry a handgun, you guys. That's not it. Your Second Amendment right is so you can defend yourself against a tyrannical government. They don't care about your hunting rights. They care about your right to defend yourself. The only thing that keeps the government scared of us is our guns. What are they coming against? They come against every aspect. But one of the things that is so incredibly important, as we just heard Benjamin Franklin say, without freedom of thought, without the ability to speak, the First Amendment rights also under massive attack. They don't like what I'm saying. They don't like what you're saying. They don't want you to go into a commissioner's meeting and say, whoa, 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 that's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be done. You've got a statute that tells you you can't do it that way, right? And now we stand here today with that as an issue. Jean-Jacques Rousseau said, I prefer liberty with danger to peace with slavery. Let me say that again. I prefer liberty with danger to peace with slavery. Can I tell you guys that peaceful slavery is still just slavery? It's not your government's job to tell you how to live. It's not your government's job to tell you how to educate your kids. It's not your government's job to tell you how to spend your money. It's not your government's job to tell you how big your truck can be. It's not your government's job to tell you how big your house can be. But what we've gotten to is a point where we have gotten peaceful slavery over dangerous liberty. In America today, we have sacrificed liberty for comfort far too long. From this point on, we're drawing a line in the sand and not looking back down. Our kids and our grandkids deserve us to stand on that. People ask, Jeremy, being a pastor, isn't that enough work? Yes. Yes, it is. If you ever want to saddle up to an absolute crazy thing, let me just say this real quick. Right back here is my beautiful bride, Lori Harrelson. She's over here. Yeah, she puts up with so much junk. Because she's married to a legislator and a pastor. I literally have 9,800 people that can call me at any time and complain. And she gets a lot of that flack. But they say, Jeremy, why did you run? And I said, I ran because of a 13 and a 15-year-old child. They're my children. My children, Malachi and Elena, if you've ever watched Sessions, you've heard my daughter play in front of the house, phenomenal violinist. That's because of her mom. You've probably met my son if you've been at the Capitol, because he comes with me every once in a while. He's a great young man. But I did it for them. Because they deserve freedom. They deserve the life that I got to live. They deserve a better life than I got to live. And the only way we're going to do that is when we sit there and say, we will never sleep again. How many people know in 2019... And maybe you weren't, but in 2019, a lot of us were sleeping. We're like, you know what? Just don't tell me how to do my life. Don't tell me what I can do with my property. Just leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. Gone are those days. We can't have that mentality any longer. They will destroy us if we keep that mentality. They don't play fair. They do not play fair. We must stay awake and stand in the gap in the wall. Now is the time to stand up and fight for freedom. Benjamin Franklin also says, they who can give up essential liberty to obtain little temporary safety deserve liberty nor safety. Can I be 100% honest with you guys tonight? Does America actually deserve liberty?
No.
You're right. It doesn't. Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. The balance has to always be brought back. We have to do that, you guys. Freedom isn't free. The foundation of our nation was founded on these morals and values that state otherwise. We are a Christian nation, you guys. Probably all of you know that. Maybe some of you don't. A lot of times I tell people, because they say, well, you're a pastor, of course you're going to say that. It's a Christian nation. But you have to understand the moral fabric of our nation is Christian. Whether you like it or not, believe in it or not, the morals and values of this nation were based upon Judeo-Christian belief structures. And it's interesting, we have simple things like don't kill. I think that's probably a pretty good thing. Right? Don't covet. Don't steal your neighbor's wife. Those are probably pretty good things. It's interesting because every single time we see us lose freedom, we see the morals decline. The moral decline of a nation will always be followed by its economic decline. Let me say that again. The moral decline of a nation will always be followed by its economic decline. Do you think we're a declining moral nation right now?
Yes.
I can pull out my phone right now. I can open up, I've got an iPhone, I can open up Safari, and I could search something that would be absolutely sinful and horrible, and it will come up instantly. Yeah. It's depravity in its fullest form. Your kids and your grandkids are exposed to it every single day. The moral decline of a nation will always, always be followed by an economic decline. Why are we surprised? Can I be honest with you, as we talk about property taxes, we talk about these things, how many people, it's not, I mean, I haven't received a pay raise from the church in 4.5 years, my choice, but the reality, because this is it, I know they're not getting a pay raise, but the reality is it's a lot tighter now than it was before 2020. Don't worry, we're at like 8-some-odd% inflation, but a set of tires is going to cost you an extra $400. Maybe they need to figure out math. Maybe that's Common Core. I don't know. Peter Marshall says, may we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. Let me say it again. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. If you've ever received an email, that's on my emails. Because I think it's something we need to remember every single day. Freedom isn't the right for me to do what I want to do. We live in a world that says if it feels good, do it, right? Your generation's told that. You know what? If you want to mess around with a girl, mess around with a girl. Heck, if you want to mess around with a guy, mess around with a guy. Because we don't have a moral absolute anymore. If it feels good, do it. But we stand in this place that freedom is not the right to do as I please. The freedom is the opportunity to do what is right. How many people understand that there is a checks and balance of the people versus the government? Your job is to balance the government. Right? Your job is to be the police of the government. Who's my boss?
We are.
You are. You're my boss. Technically, you're Jennings' boss. And Ken Pendergraft's boss. And you should sit there, and I'm not saying, you need to understand, these guys are rock stars. You guys are very blessed. But there comes a point where if you ever see someone step out of their role, you say, why did you do that? That's not how you said you would represent me. That's what I did to my rep. 8-year incumbent, completely entrenched, made Wild Rhino that year. I made Wild Rhino Killer, which was kind of fun. Didn't even know anything about that. I'll be honest with you, I was not involved in politics. I just knew there was a problem. I'm the type of guy, if something's broke, I'll fix it. I'd never been to a Republican Party in my life. I read it, they're like, is he even Republican? Because I used brown and gold instead of red and white and blue. They're like, is he a libertarian? Is he Constitution Party? I'm like, oh, I'm Republican, always been. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh, you guys. Right? Woodrow Wilson says, liberty has never come from the government. Liberty has always come from the subjects of it. The history of liberty is a history of resistance. The moment you accept what the government feeds you, you're not free. You're a slave. This coming years, we must do a couple things. How many people have appreciated all these amazing people that have stood up here and just excellently voiced? Yeah, how about giving a hand? They've excellently voiced the fact that they're for you. I'm going to shout out to one in particular. There's too many. A lot of this state's conservatives wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jennings. Mark Jennings has been a phenomenal voice. That's worth standing up for, you guys. He's truly a man of men when it comes to the conservative voice. I got elected and I get a phone call. And he grilled me, because no one knew who I was. But over the years of me being in this position, I've learned a lot from you, Mark. Thanks for putting up with some dumb votes, right? And thanks for also listening when maybe there were some dumb votes on your end. Because that's life, right? We sharpen each other. The other is this, the work ethics of John Baird is unbelievable. That boy there fights for you like nobody's. The world needs more John Bears. He absolutely has your back, and I don't think he sleeps. So pray for him, because I don't think he sleeps. So in the coming years, we must do a couple things that are vitally important. Number one, we must protect our kids from the sexualization and woke agenda that is coming against them. It's not okay to groom our kids. Number two, true education reform. The schoolroom of one generation will be the government of the next. ESA is not just the answer. You guys need to understand, we need to reform the education system. We need to sit there and go, hey, it's not working to educate children this way. We're not doing a service to our kids. We spend an exorbitant amount of money, and you want to know whose fault it isn't? The teachers. Do we have any teachers in this house? Any teachers? Okay, can I be honest with you? That's a shame. We should have teachers in this room. Because you guys know truth. We need good teachers to stand in the gap for our kids. And so the understanding that you have to have is that this is not a teacher problem, this is a system problem. A majority of these teachers are being taught liberal values, and they're regurgitating that which they've been taught. The University of Wyoming is funded by you. It's a land-grant college, and it destroys your kids. And I love the University of Wyoming. I want to be, like, I go to football games. I like it. But I'll tell you what, it's scary. We don't have to have this. One of the things that we need to do is we talk about education reform. The University of Wyoming needs to have a fully elected board. So you choose the direction of your land and college. Number three, we need to defend private property against radical 30 by 30 plans, Agenda 21, High Plains Initiative, or whatever the next catchy title they come up with to destroy private property rights. You guys, your land is under attack. If they can take your land, they can take your freedom.
Well, they're trying to take our houses.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Number four, protect our water from overreaching and unethical groundwater sales. You guys, if they get our water, they have us. We gotta protect our water. Number five, restore economic stability as a state. The carbon negative campaign is going to kill our state and will bring our legacy industries to their knees. I don't love being in a boom bust state, but the reality is we have the state we have because of coal, oil, and natural gas. And I'll be damned if I turn my back on them. Everyone in the room's like, Pastor, just cussed. So I did 12 years as a mechanic welder. When God called me to be a pastor, I told him, I said, you do realize I'm a mechanic. And people ask me, what's the hardest part of doing this? And I said, not cussing from the pulpit. Because that's who I am, right? Number six, we need to fix our election flaws with a focus on establishing residency requirements, paper ballots, and more. Amen. You guys, it's not that hard. There's only 580,000 of us. If there's any state that can do it, it's us, right?
Less than that in votes.
Right? Way less than that in votes, which is also a problem.
Yes, it is.
You know what? This is it. It is not your right to vote. There's a major misconception on this. It's my right to vote. It's your obligation to vote. There's a big difference. Rights means, I can take it or leave it. Obligation means get your rear out of bed and go vote. Because this is the reality, and I started doing this. People who complain to me about politics, I sit there and say, did you vote? Well, no. Then shut up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Well, there's a big problem. They're right. The biggest problem is you didn't vote. If you did not put your name out there, you can't step up and take a swing. Number seven, we need to further protect our Second Amendment rights, making Wyoming the number one place for the manufacturing and use of firearms. This will help our economies become less of a boom-bust economy. I've got two bills. Mark mentioned one of them. One aspect that he didn't mention that's really, it's kind of a little, what's the appropriate way to say it? Yeah, ballsy, we'll just say it. I eliminated the school board's ability to tell teachers they can't carry in their schools. Because at the end of the day, our first line of defense for our kids are our teachers.
School boards suck.
Every single classroom could then have an armed person in there that cares more about those kids than anyone. And so the gun-free zones would open up the K-12 educational facilities to be carried in by you if you hold a concealed carry permit, which, like Mark said, that's a federal law that we're abiding by. And number two, teachers can carry as well with a concealed carry permit issued by the state of Wyoming. The second bill is this. How many people understand in September the Supreme Court issued a verdict that said that 18-year-olds can purchase, carry, and use handguns? How old are you?
15.
3 years, bro, right? Up to this point, how old do you have to be to purchase a handgun?
21.
Isn't it interesting that you can go and die for your country, but you can't buy a gun? Is that right?
No.
That's a travesty. And so I'm bringing the bill that will give the ability for an 18-year-old to not only purchase a handgun in the state of Wyoming, but also apply for their concealed carry permit.
What's the bill number?
They have not been numbered yet. They will be numbered very soon. We'll send out an email. Okay. And that will give us the ability. There is one caveat I put in there. If that student is enrolled in a K-12 school, they cannot carry in their school. Because what I don't want to see happen is a student pull out a handgun and get laid out by a teacher. Make sense? Okay. So we got a couple bills that are coming down. And then finally, we need to address property tax. You sent us down there to do it. We failed. I love that we have a ballot initiative. People ask me, is this the answer? And this is what I tell people. I describe it kind of as doing surgery with a chainsaw. It might not be the best approach, but it certainly makes a heck of a splash. And it will require the legislature to do their job. So thank you guys. I personally signed on to it because I said, yeah, this is great. I had a commissioner call me up and they were freaking out. And I said, well, the reality is none of the commissioners were standing there saying, hey, figure out property taxes or people are starving. I said, so it serves you right. You should have done that. I believe it's time for God-fearing men and women to wake up and bring a reformation to their government. It's not the government, it's your government. It's no one else's fault but yours. Up to this point, the Freedom Caucus, the conservative voice, have put up roadblocks and barricades. We can't win anything. We don't have the votes. But what we do is we mess a lot of stuff up. Yeah. They do not like us. And it's really fun. I guarantee that we personally are responsible for high blood pressure. But with that being said, 2024 must bring something different. We must become the dominant voice in the Wyoming House of Representatives. And when that happens, it'll no longer be roadblocks and barricades. It'll be policy decisions. True conservative policy decisions. There's a statement that was made earlier. I disagree with it a little bit. And that was, we shouldn't fund government. I disagree. I think we should. It's our job. Our job is to fund government. I think we should take and we should whittle government down to the right size and then fund it. Right? Because the reality is my job is to fund the government. I hate that I've never been able to vote for a bill, a budget bill. Because you sit there time after time and just see horrible budget bills. They're not right-sized government. They're not proper spending structure. So our job is to fund the government, but do it in a way that actually works. So you might be asking yourself today, how can I help? I think the sentiment across the United States right now is, how can I help? Why are you here today?
Get inspired.
To get inspired? Good. Inspiration is vitally important. A majority of you did not come here to just complain. You came here because you want to help.
What can we do?
Let me tell you what you can do. Number one, the most important thing, pray. This nation was founded on godly principles, and it will only survive if the hand of God is still on it. Pray.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about a half-hearted, five-minute, throw-it-up prayer. I'm talking find your prayer closet and pray for your nation again. There are 26 of us conservatives that are going to go down and get the tar beat out of us in 2.5 weeks. Pray for us. We're tired.
Jeremy.
We are.
And when we pray, I would encourage all of us to not pray until God told what to do.
Yeah.
Don't go do this. Ask God, what can I do?
Absolutely.
In your power.
Absolutely. The conversation with God is a two-way conversation, man. The reality is this, and this is something that isn't in my notes, but you're going to get a pastor for a second here. So often we sit there and say that if it's God's will, or if this or if that, we place it back on God. It's an escape mentality. It's a scapegoat. The reality is this, God needs you. He does. Scripture says in Genesis that he gave you dominion over this world. The reality is, if you look throughout all of Scripture, God never moved without man's work, right? He used man to make it become reality. And so God is looking for men and women today that will step up, rise up, and do the same. So you're absolutely right. Don't go and tell God how to fix his nation or this nation. Go and just ask God, how do we do this? So pray. Number two, run. Make a difference. School boards, county commissions, city councils, dog catcher. I don't care. Run. You want to know how they took Colorado over? They ran. Colorado was a conservative state when I was a kid. Now, not even close. We need to use their theory against them in every way, shape, and form. And then finally, give. You know, this is the reality, and I don't like it. No one does. But you don't win these things without money. That's the long and short of it. So my first year, I had no clue what I was doing. You want to know how I won? I knocked on every single door in Platte County. I didn't know what else to do. I knew that worked. I went into the parades, knocked on doors, threw some signs up, and sent out a couple banners. I spent, do you remember? It's like $3,800 my first campaign. Mark, is that a low campaign?
That's pretty low.
That's pretty low. The guy running against me spent over 20. The reality is this, a campaign in the state of Wyoming is going to cost individuals between $15,000 and $20,000 now to run. So what does that mean? You're not giving money to me or to Representative Bear or to Representative Pendergraf or Representative Jennings. What you're giving is you're giving money for us to be able to, as a PAC, as the Freedom Caucus PAC, protect people. We can then, on the Freedom Caucus, can defend these 26 conservatives. Whenever there's a barrage, there are millions of dollars being raised to come against us. They are furious that we're winning. They've had control of the state for far too long, and they're not about to lose it.
Yeah, they are.
You're right. They are. But what does that mean? You're looking at it's going to cost you roughly $2,000 to send a mailer on one campaign. That's real money, guys. We just got to talking about can't afford our property tax. That's real money. But the truth is, if we can't swing to a majority in this election cycle, I'm afraid of what we're going to see our state become. And I'm not doom and gloom. There's no pessimism in me. You can ask my wife, I'm the most optimistic person. Sometimes it drives her nuts. I also don't lose. But the reality is this, is if we can't gain those seats, we lose. So pray, run, give. That's how you can help. Be involved in the process. The Wyoming Legislative, WYOLEG.gov website, learn that thing inside out. I challenge you this week, spend it half an hour on that webpage. Explore it. Testify. You know what? My concealed carry bill, not my concealed carry, my gun-free zone bill, we need that on the floor of the House. The only way it's going to get on the floor of the House is if you guys put pressure on Albert Saunders. He hates that bill. I don't know why. All the statistics say it's the safest thing for our kids. But he hates it.
Does that have a number?
It's in the, so this is it. Those bills have not been dropped yet. That's, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you, okay? Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. But I'm just going to go back to this. August 14th is when I asked for that bill. So tell me, there isn't favoritism in our LSO. I would love to have a bill for you. I contact them once a month from August, September, October, once a week in November, December, and we're in January. You fight every single, I don't know why they don't like me, but they don't like me. So, that's the reality. We'll get you numbers. The bills will come out. Gun owners of America have looked at that bill, and it's a good bill. The secret of freedom lies in educating people, where the secrets of tyranny is in keeping them ignorant. You guys are educating people. You won't go back to sleep. There's a $1 billion agenda at work in our nation today. We must stand together and realize that the great state we love and the great nation we cherish is standing on the edge of extinction. The forces at work want to divide us and make this about race, political parties, age, financial status, or religion. We must stand together, lock arms, and fight for our nation once again. We're at a crossroads, truly at a crossroads. It's a moment of truth. Will we allow these people to use fear, propaganda, and division to further harm our society, economy, and God-given rights, our children? Or will we stand together and say, absolutely not. Not this time, not next time, never. I don't know about you, but I choose for you.
That'll about do it for today's installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. Don't forget about my live program every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on the Independence Network. You can listen to it just by going to the website independencenetwork.us. Now, you can listen to the podcast anywhere that you find your podcasts, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. When you're there, don't forget to subscribe and follow the program. That way you can be notified every single time there's a new episode of Cowboy State Politics. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.